Oh, he's so good. He's so good. He is so good. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody say hi to Scott. I should do that more often. That was good. Well, if you haven't got one, and there's still some out there, you can get a True Life lighted up wristband out there. And then, thank you. Thank you, Vanna. We have those out there for your yard as well, just for Easter. If you need more than one, you can take more than one if you need to. I'm going to get another one because I have one in our yard. I'm going to put it, going to position them a little bit so they're easier to see and stuff when people come. But they're two-sided. Again, those are free. It's going to be a great Easter Sunday. And actually, you know, we love the fact the church is growing. We're excited about that. But we thought about, Lord, are we ready to go to two services on an Easter and just do that? And we felt like the Lord said, not this year. We want to pack this place out on Easter Sunday. And hopefully, you know, it'd be great to have to pull out the wing chairs and all that stuff, you know, on this side. So all good, but I like that electricity when we're all together and so many are here. How many remember when we were doing two services when we got here? It was wonderful. And then COVID, that was not wonderful. But God is always good. But we learned some things. When we did two services when we were in the school, you know, we found we had them too far apart. And people would come to church, and then they'd go, the other people would be coming in for the second service, but they were too far apart, so they didn't see each other. And then they were like, oh, so-and-so must not go to church here anymore. And they did, but we had to figure out, like, how to, and the dream team was just amazing. Why are you telling me that? Because I'm telling you, we're heading somewhere. Because we have a message that the gospel is going to be preached and we're going to believe God for great things, not because we want, you know, I don't have, at this point, we don't have really plans of pushing the auditorium out. We're just going to do more services. It just makes more sense because we have other needs that we have to take care of. And, you know, Kidstown being entryway, all of that stuff, parking lot hadn't been paved since the building was put up in the 90s. In the early 90s. So, you know, we just have stuff that we want to take care of. We want to be good stewards of everything. And God is just so good. I'm so excited. So glad you're with us today. Let's say hi to our online crowd today. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. We have been just talking about the authority that we have in Jesus and that it was delegated to us. And it's up to us to use it. Up to us to use it, to put things in place and to enforce it. How many know that if you've been parented when you were growing up, you're... your parents enforced rules and you know, when our kids grew up, we had to enforce certain things. Like, this is your bedtime. I mean, because if they would think, I could stay up till 2 or 3 and it won't affect my school. It'll even affect my school, so no. No, this is your bedtime. So, you know, but you have to enforce the things of God because the enemy doesn't leave voluntarily. And so we've been learning about that. So this is week 7 of going into the authority. I'm excited about as Easter is approaching. We're going to be inviting people. I have a special message for Easter, and the Lord just gave me another message for Palm Sunday. I just put the title in my phone. If you saw me pull my phone out, it's not like if I text anything, it's usually one of the team back there. It's usually the usher, like, it's too hot in here, or it's too loud, or it's this, or it's that. I mean, it's usually something like that, but I was texting the title. He gave me a title for Palm Sunday, and I was just like, oh, that'll preach. Of course it will. That's why he gave me the title. But I haven't developed it yet, but now I'm excited. So it was good. I wrote that down. Anyway, so we're going to look at this. Again, we're talking about the authority, and we've been studying that. We've established that all the authority comes from God, and God gives us that authority. It's delegated from him. He created man, and he spoke that, and he's bound by his words, and God cannot lie. So he upholds all things by the word of his power. We've looked at scripture for that. I'll go over some of those quickly. Psalm 89:34, my covenant, I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward your holy temple, praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. So when God speaks, it becomes binding. It's just a covenant. He told Adam and Eve, here's what you have. This is in charge of you, and you have dominion over the earth. We've looked at that in Genesis. He gave that to them, and he bound himself to that word. And so when he gave that, he could not be in direct control of that because he put them in control. Say amen to that. You have to understand that when you have something and you have a free will, you have that ability to choose. And he gave you that ability, and so he's not going to make you. There are things that we as parents can, there's times that we make her. Yet, no, you will eat. You cannot eat chocolate the rest of your life. You have to eat something else or whatever. Or you have to go to bed at such and such a time or that kind of thing. We get that. But then there are parts there. I can't make my children follow God. I can show them that example. I can be that light to them. But ultimately, they don't get saved because of me. They get saved because it's their own personal choice. Say amen to that. They have to do that. They have to choose themselves. 4:24 of John says this. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So God is not a physical being. He is a spirit, and he gave dominion and authority over the earth to physical human beings. So you need to understand that. And so we are the ones that have made a mess of the earth, haven't we? Yeah. Sometimes, have you ever just, I look into dealing and believing God for real estate and doing different things. And have you went around and said, how hard is it to mow grass? Or why do they just put everything in the front yard or the backyard? Maybe I'm the only one that wonders that. Or just it wouldn't cost much if this was just trimmed or painted and it would make everything, I get that, but we make our own choices of how we want to. I absolutely love my kids. My daughter, Maddie, I love her. She's very generous. She's a wonderful person. I told her, I said, she goes, Dad, I'm going to clean my room. And she will take 6 or 8 hours to clean her room. I mean, maybe I'm just a guy. That is never going to happen in my world. My world, cleaning a room means I'm going to put my dirty clothes in the laundry, probably make my bed. If the sweeper needs run, probably maybe do that, maybe dust, and I'm done. Not her. I could be Sherlock Holmes and go in and go, well, that's where, yep, she put that right there that day and 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 that day. And I've told her, like, hey, if you just did it when you did it, you wouldn't have all that to pick up. This is what she tells me. I know. But I said, do you want to take 6 or 8 hours? And she goes, well, that's what it takes. I'm like, okay. But that's her, again, I'm not saying that isn't necessarily wrong. That's just her choice. Okay? So I have to change some of my thinking. I'm not the one up there going, that day. Well, kind of, but But she's, so, okay. We live by our choices. And God doesn't intervene because that would mean if he just makes us do everything and he's control of everything, that would break his word. The whole universe would fall apart. And he cannot lie. So our mismanagement of authority in man, in this world, is our fault. The mess in the world today is we haven't managed it right, or those that are in those positions have not managed it right. So it is important to vote for people that follow the Bible the closest. It's a big deal. So anyway, we found out that man gave power or gave authority to the enemy. We found that Lucifer didn't get it from God. He got it from Adam and Eve. He got it from man. And so this is what happens in our mind. We think that a superior being, Lucifer, and he's not, but we are deceived that way. Anyway, that gets intimidating. Don't give him that kind of credit. He wants to have credit. That's what he wants. He's not a big, He makes himself a big deal, but you have all authority given to you to beat him. Jesus already beat him, but we have to exercise that. Remember this, if you give him authority, it helps you be ineffective. And remember that the devil can't make you do anything. He cannot make you do anything. You have to be deceived. You have to consent or cooperate with it or with him. Let's look at an example. Remember the demon-possessed guy? This guy, he's got all kinds of demons. He's running around the tomb. He's just running all over there, and he's naked, and he's just running, and he's nuts. And he's scaring everybody, and he's cutting himself, the Bible says, and he's breaking chains. They tried to chain him. He breaks those, and it says he had a legion of demons, and a legion, a Roman legion, could mean up to 6,000. That's a lot. This is what I want to bring out. This man that's running around, let's say if you look up Roman legion, how big is a Roman legion? It's going to tell you 5 to 6,000. So 5 to 6,000 demons, this man, when Jesus comes on the scene, this man runs up to Jesus and falls at his feet. Now, this is what I'm wanting to tell you. I don't know that the man, he just knows I'm in trouble. But he goes up to Jesus, and he may not have been able to know how to get free, but he knew enough that he could stand in front of the one who could get him free. And I can say this with almost all confidence. The demons were not in favor of this decision. I mean, can you agree with that? They're not saying, hey, I got an idea. Let's go stand in front of Jesus, who beat the snot out of us and could, cast us out. Let's do that, shall we? They're not doing that, but they could not listen to me. This man, as much as he has 5 to 6,000 demons, they couldn't stop him because he made the choice. Jesus is here. I don't know how to get away from these guys, but he can get me away from these guys. So he runs and does that. They could not stop him from doing that. So we cannot use this. The devil is in control of me. Now, there is possession and there's oppression. I get that. But if you can get in front of somebody that has Jesus, you can be free. It's just, and it sounds cliche, it's just that simple. But the simple truth is, it is. There's nothing can stand up to Jesus. But if you are thinking, I can't, this has been with me since I can't, then I'm telling you, you've already been deceived. The devil is a liar. He is feeding you that, and as long as you eat it, he'll gladly give you more. He cannot do anything without your consent or cooperation. Now, when he came against Adam and Eve, he didn't even come as a superior being. We all know how he came. According to Ezekiel 28, I read that last week, this was when he was in a sinless state. In other words, he was sent there to minister to them. And we've got more scripture, and I'll bring it to you. He was there to serve them, not to oppose them. Now, I said this, if there was sharks swimming in a pond, and I told my kids, hey, let's go swimming, I would get the Oscar for the most moronic parent ever. Just here, put on this sunscreen lotion, smells like meat, you'll love it. Go swimming. God did not send them to be taken in danger by the enemy. That's not God's character. We pause this moment for a stationary break. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Isaiah 14, 4 through 6, take up the proverb against the king of Babylon. You can read that. And he's talking about this. I'm telling you what he's saying from last week. He's talking about the king that's by the enemy, so to speak, being controlled that way, or he has allowed that to happen. And so we're talking about that in Ezekiel 28, even called the enemy a cherub. And we said they weren't fat little babies with their cute little cheeks and their bows and arrows. And they were ones that, you know, if you remember, that one guarded the Garden of Eden and wouldn't let anybody in or out. But in the 12th verse of Isaiah of 14, it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." So he's talking now about Lucifer, not the king, but the demonic power that worked through the king. In Isaiah 14, now we just read Isaiah 14, 12, but 7 through 14, it goes and talks more about that. And so, I mean, I could read all that to you, and I know I read fast because I get excited, but if I slow down, then my mind starts going. I start thinking of all these other stories I could say, and then you'll be here till 3. So I'm trying to help you, but he talks about, you know, he's talking about the enemy. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. Break forth unto singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up their thrones, all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. How you are fallen from heaven. O Lucifer, son of morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, Now here's those eyes. This is what Lucifer got himself in trouble. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend from above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so listen to me. His sin wasn't that he hated God. Now he does now. I mean, but he wanted to be God. That was his thing. He envied God and he wanted that for himself. And so we talked about that he might be the worship angels. We talked, they described pipes even possibly could be coming. And so he was created for worshiping God. So the Lucifer wanted to be worshiped. Isn't that, he was created to worship the one and he wants that worship. So we need to understand this is what he's doing and this is what he wants. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted the throne. He wanted all of the praise. Just say, I feel like Perry Mason. Is that not why praise and worship is so instrumental in fighting with the enemy? In battling with the enemy? Because it is the very thing that he was created to do that now he wants for himself. And so when you give worship and praise to Almighty God, it slaps him in the face. The Bible, let's look at some of this. This is why praise and worship is so important and it's so powerful against the enemy. The Bible tells of David playing the harp and evil spirits departing. Elijah calling for a minstrel and the anointing of God came upon him. And Paul and Silas worship God. The whole chains, the whole place shook. And everybody got free because they worshiped God. It's such a powerful weapon against the devil. Jesus said in Matthew 21:16, and said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?'" He's quoting Psalm 8:2, which says, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." So praise is the strength or the power to break that of the enemy, the power of the enemy. When you begin to praise, that's why, you know, praising is when the enemy wants to say nasty things out of your mouth. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to say just, you know, whatever the situation, he wants you to speak the now circumstances. And God says, you walk by faith and not by sight. What does my word tell you? So you start looking at what God says. And you start speaking the end result. And you say, "Well, Brad, I can't see it." You ain't supposed to see it yet. That's why it's faith. You're putting the enemy to flight by just speaking the things of God. So the enemy wants that credit. Isaiah shows the praise is what the enemy is jealous and envious of. He wants it, all the glory, all the praise. That's what he wants, all the credit. So when you begin to praise God and not the circumstances that the enemy is causing or bringing on you, let me just say it this way, if I was a cowboy, Glenn, here we go, that chaps my hide. He don't like that. So speak it, man. Just begin to praise God in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Begin to say, hallelujah, glory to God. I didn't get my parking spot. That person knew I was pulling in there. Well, good grief, don't let it ruin your day. Walmart has plenty of parking spots. And if you got to walk 3 more feet, oh boy. So start praising God. No matter what, I've had people cut in line. Have you ever had that happen? And you're like, ah. Or you get in the line and you're like, you started to get in this one and you're like, ooh, that one's shorter. And you get over there and something's wrong with the register or something and you're like, help me, Jesus. Instead of saying, well, praise God. Praise God. I guess I'll stay here unless he wants me to move again. It's all good. It chaps the enemy's hide. You see, why? Because he was created to do that, to praise God. And he can't stand it when you do it because he wants all that for himself. He is the ultimate egomaniac. So start praising God. When we start praising God, guess what happens? The enemy starts making his exit. When you don't buy into the lie, you don't buy into the deception because you have, come on, all power. God gave you authority and you can start praising God in a situation that in the natural, and that's the senses he comes to you at, not God, but the enemy. And you start getting into the spiritual because that's when you tap into God. The enemy is a copycat. He's a deceiver and he wants to get you off track, off focus. He'll give you alternate ideas and things that go against the word. He twists the truth. So PK and I, this is what we do. You get thoughts. Everybody gets thoughts. If you're sitting here saying, I never think a bad thought. The first one you think, you're deceived. We got to cast out lying first. Because that's how he plays. The enemy he wants to make your mind a playground. If you get a thought that goes against the word of God, just say this. That's not my thought. Say that out loud. That's not my thought. And say what the word would say. And say that out loud. Come on, somebody. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No, I'm telling you, he is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I begin to declare the works of God. I mean, we have been battled. We, in the last couple days, the enemy's tried to come against us in the physical. I don't know if he does that with you, but I'm sure he does. And I can tell you, I can't tell you how long sometimes that warfare takes. Sometimes it takes, it's over like that. Other times, not so much. But part of that is my choices. Because it's easy to be on the outside going, that's just easy. All you have to do is do this. But when you're going through it, somehow that easy button's out of reach a little bit. And you just be like, oh, I want to, but man, it just hurts. Or I'm just miserable or this or that. Sometimes you got to have yourself a talk. I had a little talk with Jesus. Sometimes I have to excuse myself so I can have a little talk with Jesus. And if anybody's watching me, they're saying, somebody needs to call the white jackets. Because he's out there, he's having a talk. But I'm just declaring what God, I am healed. I am healed, and I command whatever this is, I command you, you cannot stay. You must leave in Jesus' name. And sometimes you have to do it in the face of the enemy. Sometimes you have to lean, come on, you have to lean into the storm. I'm not letting the storm push me over. Everybody say balance. We need balance. Now, I'm not saying you got to be some radical that everybody's like, whoo. I don't want to be around them because they are nutso. You can be around everybody. But if you have balance and you walk in the things of God, you have fruit. And the people that don't have fruit, they will want you to pray for them. Sometimes they won't do it in front of their friends, but when they can get you alone, they'll tell you, could you please pray for me? Keep it to yourself. I've had people do that. Don't tell anybody I came and asked you for prayer. Why? Because they'll know you prayed. I'm going to catch a fox and cut his tail off. George is my friend. I'm just like, what do you believe that? I believe God hears you. He just doesn't hear me. Well, I'm telling you, if I pray and you believe with me, whether you believe with me, he's gonna heal them. They're going to see that. So if I was you, I'd get ready to tell them God did it. I'm going to tell them you did it. I didn't do it. I just prayed. God heard me and he did it. Look at holidays. The enemy will do all kinds of things just to dilute everything. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you still to love me. Santa, the Easter Bunny, we're coming up on that. Hippity hoppity, Easter's on his way. The Tooth Fairy. People would ask, so what are you going to do with your kids? I'm not telling you what to do. You think I am, but I'm not. You have this choice. This is what we did. We just told our kids the truth. And we still had fun with the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. We kind of knocked out Halloween, though. We just couldn't find a whole lot. In the beginning of the church, we did a lot of stuff. And it never sat right with me. And I would try, and I'd get through, and I'd just think, maybe I'm just being too... But so we just kind of skip Halloween. And you can look up the history of Halloween if you want, and you want to celebrate that. I'm not telling you. You do whatever you feel to do. We just skipped it. So that's... You wonder why we're Christmas nuts on Halloween? That's when we put up our tree. Because we got our kids involved in that. Because when Mal was just knee-high to a grasshopper, there's people walking around with Freddy Krueger masks and stuff, and they come to the door, and try to explain to a five-year-old, well, maybe you have. What's that? There was nothing good I could say. So we just turned off our light, closed our door, and said, we're not. Now, there are people that will argue with me. I'm not here to get your hate mail. Don't really care. Just saying. You know, well, this is an opportunity. You can give them a track. Yeah, I could give them a track. But I'm not going to use my kids as bait to do that. I'm not going to do that. My job at that point was just to protect. Now, if I was out by myself and somebody came up, would I tell them about Jesus? Sure. I've witnessed Jehovah's Witnesses and all kinds of things. Anyways, so we just told our kids. We still let them sit on Santa's lap, get their picture. We have pictures on our tree with their picture on Santa's lap. But we just had fun. It's okay. God gave you an imagination. You can have fun with that. We used that. We had fun with it. But we wanted them to tell the truth. Now, here's why we told them the truth. Because if I told all these... my children, later they find out Santa's not real, the Tooth Fairy's not real, the Easter Bunny's not real. But let me tell you about Jesus. What are the chances of them believing all that? Everybody else I've told them about, they're like, they can't see them, they're just pretend. We didn't want that. So we just told them Jesus was real. And this is what we do, and it's okay, and this is how the world celebrates that in a lot of ways. And it's fun, and there's nothing, we sing Christmas carols, we love, so please, don't take this out of context, just understand, there was a lying truth, not lying like, lying, standard. And so we just told them about Jesus, this is what the Bible says, and so these other things are fun. And it kind of gives people that maybe don't believe in Jesus, gives them a little hope and stuff. We told them about how St. Nicholas, the guy that was Santa Claus, how he really did give away gifts and how things happened. And so, you know, it's okay. And so we just made that transition. Again, not telling you have to do that, but that's why we told them the truth. There's, you know, and you can do a lot of things. We did story, you know, the Easter egg. There's stories about how the egg and the shell and the grave and all of that. Yeah, I get all that, and that's good. I'm not opposed to any of that. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt here Easter Sunday out in the courtyard, okay? So we're not opposed, and we're not, you know, but we're just saying the standard is Easter Sunday is not about a bunny. Easter Sunday is about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins and rose again. And, you know, Christmas Day is not about a guy in a red suit and a white beard giving gifts. It's about the biggest gift was Jesus Christ that was born, that came from the cradle to the cross. So we just kind of backed those up, and we still had fun with the other stuff. I hope that makes sense. All right. But the enemy twist and dilute, and he'll change the focus and all of that. We just wanted our kids to know from the beginning they could trust what we told them. Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now put together what Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here's the first lie recorded in Scripture. The enemy was behind the lie, as you know, and the serpent was speaking. So here's the reason the enemy picked a snake. He didn't pick a bear or a lion because, again, now think about what I'm trying to tell you here. He's got no power. You have a bear or a lion come crashing through at you. You kind of like, uh-oh, the cunning of a snake. All right. But he can't force them. Now, remember, he can't force them to do anything. So, I mean, he can intimidate them if they let him. They can believe him if they let him. But remember, he was an angel sent to minister for them, not against them. So the only way he can do anything, he has to leave them. First thing he does is he questions the word. He questions what God said. Why? Now, he goes to Eve. Why didn't he go after Adam? He waits for Eve. So you got to think about stuff like this. You got to start putting this together. You ever ask? Am I still on? Okay. Go after Adam. 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived. This is what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Adam was with her when this all went down. Genesis 3:6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree desirable to make one wise, she's believing what the enemy said, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, our culture always says it's an apple. The Bible just says it's fruit. I don't think it specifies if it's an apple. I don't believe it does. Anyways, Adam was there this whole time watching and listening to the whole thing. And we just read where it said he wasn't fooled. He knew what God had said to him. So the enemy goes to the woman. Now, I don't know if I was a male chauvinist. I would say, maybe, or somebody might say if they were, not me. Not me, honey. I would say, telephone, telegram, tell a woman. Before you throw anything, there are men that have the same issue. All the women say, oh man, we blame women, but I'm telling you, we have the same issue. Everybody has a mouth, and a lot of times we use it for the wrong thing. Genesis 2:17, I'll tell you what I think. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's Genesis 2:17. God told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil before Eve was ever formed. So he's already given Adam this instruction. So Eve didn't get this command from God. She got it from Adam. Growing up, have you ever played the telephone game where somebody runs up or they write something, they give it to somebody and they read it or they tell them and they have to tell somebody and they have to tell somebody and they have to tell somebody and they have to tell somebody. And then the last person has to say what started, and it's usually something way different than what was ever said. We had a prayer chain in a church we pastored years ago in the Assemblies of God, and the prayer came in, this little boy, I'm just going to call him Toby. That's not his name. I don't even remember his name, but it sounds fun to say Toby. Toby, would you please pray? Toby was riding his bike real fast, and he wrecked his bike, and he skinned his knee real bad. Would you please put that on the prayer chain? And so that came across the prayer chain. Little boy, skinned his knee, pray. By the end of the prayer chain, it came back to the church. Toby had kidney failure, This is a true story. Because he was a kid, and it involved his knee. Somehow it got, he had kidney failure, and we needed to pray right away because, you know, he was dying. He wasn't dying. He got a couple stitches in his knee. Had nothing to do with his kidneys. So Eve didn't get it directly from God. She got Adam's version of it. I don't know what he said. I wasn't there. Obviously, Adam needed more of a backbone, I think, because he should have spoke up and said, no, no, no. He told me we can't do this. I told you that, Eve. But Adam didn't say anything. He watched everything and didn't do anything. So Eve got it secondhand. Now listen to what I'm about to say. If whatever you're believing is not defined, there's room for doubt. Now I say that just to say defined meaning defined. What does God say about what you are, what mountain you're facing, what giant you're facing, what difficulty you're facing? Is it, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, what is the plumb line that has been snapped? If you don't have one or don't know one, there's room for doubt. And he will zero in on what you don't know. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The word will set you free. So here, you all have a Bible that says the average American household has 4 to 5 Bibles in every household. Do we use them? Do we know them? Now, my wife, she still, I use most of my time, I have it on my phone, so I have the devotion and everything on the phone, because if I'm going anywhere or whatever, I have my phone. I still use my Bible. My wife uses her phone a lot, but she still likes, as they call it, like the turning of the leaves. She likes the pages. And I part of me, and I, right or wrong, I'm envious about that because I wish I would take more time, and maybe I should do that because I like the fact, I don't know if it means anything, I like to hold a Bible. My father-in-law, Charles, he would hold his Bible, and he would clutch it. He would hold it like this. I can still see him. Why? Because it was dear to him. She has his Bible now. And it's well worn. I mean, that thing looks like it's been, like, they took it with them and, you know, it's clear with the Egyptians and she finally got it. I mean, it's just like, I mean, every page has been turned about 75,000 million times. And Charles was one of those guys I could go and say, hey, what about this king? And he'd just rattle it right off to me. Blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, oh, man. I'd have to go home and I'd have to look it up. But he just knew so many things. Why? Because he was a student of the word. That was important to him. What you focus on, you have to have that word. Because if you leave where you're like, I don't know what God says about that, you need to find out what God says. And that's where my wife will help me. She'll say, what's God say about that, babe? If I don't know what God says about that, see, then the enemy goes, ha-ha! Shoot right there. Shoot right there. What does God say? Seal that shut. Find out the truth for yourself. Don't just say, you know, because I don't have a version of this, okay? I mean, this is the New King James, there's not the PB version. I mean, I have my, I guess my own, what I would say, but if it goes away from this, it's wrong. Do you understand? It has to match the word of God. So you need to look those things up. You need to be a student yourself and say, okay, God, if what you're going through, write down some of those scriptures. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your dash of your car. Put them wherever you can. Put them on your phone so 3 or 4 times a day the alarm goes off. And then read that out loud. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You begin to speak to the mountain. Quit telling your God about your mountain. Start telling your mountain about your God. Because greater is he that's in you. You have the authority to watch it move. You remember last week I told you about, he said, get your leaf blower and use it with attitude. So, you know, my first, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you leafs, you're going to go, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. But when I got, now here's the thing, and this is the difference. If you're not willing to step out of the boat, you'll never find out. You just won't. So I got out of the boat, and I went over to the leaves, and I started doing, okay, what do you mean? Pretty soon I started seeing how they'd move, and then I started doing, and then next thing you know, in 15, 20 minutes, the whole thing was cleared. But in my first response almost was like, we already did that. I'm telling you, he's looking for water walkers. Have you ever found something where you looked something like 100 times and you didn't see it? Or how about this? You've looked somewhere for 100 times, didn't see it, and then some little kid comes up, oh, here it is. You're like, my dad said he'd been searching for a paper for hours. Hours. It was right. I've been at that desk for hours. My sister and I went over to find this paperwork for him. He let me in the door. She went in the office, started looking. I walked in. I no sooner walked into his apartment, and this is crunch, found it. And he goes, where did you find it? She looked at me, and she goes, right here. Right in the, he goes, it wasn't there. I've been there since 3 a.m. And he's convinced that somehow the Lord put it there. I'm not saying God didn't do it, but what I'm saying is sometimes we just have to get out of the boat. We have to declare, I will find it. I will see it. Show me where it is. Have you ever asked God to show you where something is? Sometimes you don't see it right away, and then other times you'll be doing something, and all of a sudden you get a picture. And you're like, that's where it is. And you go, and sure enough. You see, if you don't take God for his word, here's what the enemy says. He's not too concerned. If you don't take God for his word, he's not going to listen to you either. Jesus, I know. PK, I know. PB, I know. Who are you? Put your name there. Believe God for everything. And because you have the given authority, the delegated authority, you can say whatever you need to say, what the Lord prompts you to. And the enemy will be like, because you came in the word of God. You came in his name. You have authority because of what he did, of who he is, and of who you are in him. So see, it's got to be your belief that God's word is true, 100%. Not just mine. Line up your faith with what the word says. Somebody else says, I mean, there's things, our minds have been wrong for a long time. Our mindsets, let me say it that way, not our minds. But our mindsets, we were taught one thing. And I told you the story, I just told it to John the other day. Very quickly, there was a great grandmother who always on holidays, let's just say Easter, always made her ham this way. And she always cut off the back of the ham. And then so she gave her daughter the recipe. And her daughter made it that way. And she gave her daughter the recipe. And her daughter made it that way. And on down generation through generation. And they said, well, that's just, we need great-great-grandma's ham recipe. And they were getting that. And they said, we always have to cut off the back of the pan. Well, somebody that had asked the great-great-grandma before she had passed said, why do you always cut off the back of the pan or back of the ham? Get that mixed up. Back of the ham. And this is the grandma's answer. Because my pan wasn't big enough. But for generations, they just thought, yo, you can't eat that back part of that ham. That's bad news bears. Don't eat that. Got to throw that away. And the great grandma's like, no, I just didn't have a pan that big. And we didn't have money to buy a new pan. So we have a mindset that's kind of like that. Because we have been ingrained in us, the world system. So our mind is just like, well, that's what we've always known. What if God says there's another way? I could show you something that would supersede the way that you know. Would you believe him? Because if you would, you can get out of the boat. You can walk on the water. Stand up for what you believe. Speak to the mountain. That's how they move. They don't move by thinking. The enemy can't read your thoughts because he's just an angel. You have to speak with authority. The laws of faith operate on your belief system. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 14:26 of John says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things I said to you. So let God reveal and confirm truth. Let the Holy Spirit be your plumb line. Let God's word be the one you're just like, oh, wow. Because people are going to tell you, well, you know, that's always been taught this way. Well, maybe it has. But what if you found out how it was supposed to be? If somebody says something that doesn't go with Scripture, it's not God, period. It doesn't mean they're a terrible person. It just means maybe they don't know Scripture. You can still love them. You see, going by what John says, we should depend, and I need to do this more often, of the Holy Spirit that lives inside us. He is the one that lives inside us, that knows all things, will reveal mysteries to us. And he will bring, the Bible says, he'll bring things back to our remembrance. Not our sin. God's not doing that. That's the enemy. But I'm talking about things that as you pursue God, the enemy is good at bringing back your past, isn't he? That's not God. So make this personal. Don't take everybody what everybody else says. What does God say about your situation? It might be a little different than somebody else's. What does the word say about it? So if I went to God and said, God, what about this? And I had a situation and he shows me something in the word. I don't have to quote, well, brother or sister so-and-so said this, so I believe that. That might be all well and true and I could say that. But if God showed me in Scripture, now I can say it's mine because he showed me. So here's the word I'm standing on. I'm not standing on it because they're standing on it. I'm glad they're standing on it. I'm standing on it because it was revealed to me. Simon Peter, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells him, you got this not from man. Yeah, you understand, boy, I feel the Lord. You have to have that connection with God. And so when God tells you, it doesn't matter if you've heard it or whatever, that's wonderful, but now it's yours. It becomes part of your testimony. Once God tells me something, I don't have to quote somebody else. I can quote me, quoting him, giving him glory for what he told me. Does that make sense? Eve was deceived. She bought the lie, sold the farm, cooked her meal, ate her cookie, washed her window, pruned her flowers, drank her milk, saddled her horse, made her bed, however you want to put it. She believed the enemy because she did not take that serious from what Adam said. God said, we can't do that. If you leave doubt, that's where he's aiming. You get the idea. The enemy goes after the word. He wants the word sown in your heart. When you leave here today, you might have some things you're like, oh man, I don't know. He's going to come for the word because that's what will change you. You see, the word changes. Now, it doesn't change, but it changes you. The truth sets you free. The knowledge sets you free. I know how to fight that now. David, can you imagine David? You know God, pick up those 5 stones. You know, Goliath had brothers. I don't know if he picked them up for all his brothers. I mean, there was a plan, and God said, here it is. David would seek the Lord. Shall I go after him this way? No, don't go that way now. We did that last time. This time I want you to do this. How about Gideon? Take these pitchers and put a torch in there. And when I tell you, break those. I mean, God has a plan. If he'll do it for them, he'll do it for you. I mean, if we could go back, I'm sure Adam and Eve would say, wish I did that different. But let's be honest, before we throw stones at them, one of us had probably messed it up. If you're going to entertain the enemy, you're going to give him a foothold. He is one that if you give him an inch, he will take a mile. People, that's how evolution and the Big Bang theory and all of that. People don't take God at his word. But Psalm 19 tells how just that word and that glory protects us. You can look at Psalm 91 as well. I want the word of God to be my final truth. I don't want to be open to anything that states different than the word of God, even if I don't understand it. I used to make people mad because they would be mad. Can you explain this or that, and I won't go into the whole stories of all that, but if I said, I don't know how to explain all that, but I just know if the word says it, I just believe it. And they're like, well, you're stupid. Well, tell me how hell's like. Well, that's probably harsh, but let me rewind that. Just because we all have an opinion and an option, as long as it stays with God, it's good. See, I offended. John's leaving. Okay, well. No. Love you, John. By the way, great bass playing today. I'm like, somebody's playing a bass. John's playing a bass. That man is talent. All right. Okay, I'm just gonna finish this up. Let's do it this way. Just make the word of God your anchor. That's just the bottom line. What does God say? My wife is always telling me, she doesn't really care if I have 3 or 5 other opinions. What does God say? Even if they sound right. Do you know there's some opinions that sound right? And they might be right. As long as they agree with the word of God, then that's, yay. But what if they don't? Then you just can't entertain them. You just can't. You just refuse. My challenge to you this morning is knowing that you have authority and you have choices. So with all of that being known, ask yourself this. Am I going through the same thing because I'm not believing what God said? That I don't know. Why did this or question? Now, here, listen, and then I'm praying. You don't have to feel like you have to understand everything. You don't have to feel like you know everything, because you don't, and we don't. None of us do. That's why it is so important that the Holy Spirit is inside you, because the peace that passes all understanding comes from Him, the Prince of Peace. His Spirit is inside you. So sometimes, let me put it to you this way. I grew up in the era of my mother saying, because I said so. Mom, why can't I? Because I said so. She would never explain that. But yet there's a couple times that she told me to stay out of a certain tree and I would never understand till I fell a couple times. It took me more than once. And played pinball all the way down, and then came in the house with a cut in my head and bruise and all that. And then I realized her because I said so was because I would probably fall out of the tree. I don't have to understand everything, but I do have to stand under authority. So when I stand under the authority of God, when the enemy comes at me with an unknown, the God in me will fight the unknown and equip me to fight what I don't understand. Because I'm standing under Him. Let me put it to you this way. If my kid was here and somebody was coming at me and he's in danger, I'm going to take my kid and I'm going to put him behind me. And they will have to come through me to get him. Because I said so. Let me ask you this. What are you saying so today? What delegated authority are you using today? I challenge you just to put it to use. Put the word of God to use and watch what happens.